Monster Man, Episode 173, Piscadamon to Yaganadamon. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are finishing our look at daemons. That's daemons with an A, not demons with an E. I mean, it has an E, but you know what I mean. As we make our way through the D chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we do that, though, it's time to thank some new Patreon supporters. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if you pledge to support the show, you'll get some rewards. For example, patrons at all levels get access to bonus content, such as the episode that I recently uploaded about the woods. Patrons at the $2 level get access to new episodes of my other podcast, Patron Deities, which is about the Deities and Demigods book. And patrons at the $5 level get the opportunity to choose a topic for a special episode, such as our recent episode on goblins. So thank you very much, Greg Lensing, Robert Oberlies, Carl Clare, and Mari White. I really appreciate all of your support. Also, I should say that, as I mentioned in the last episode, we just got a dog. And she is very nice, but she's not used to being left on her own for long periods of time just yet, so I am recording this in not my usual place, so if the acoustics sound a little funny, that's why, and if you hear some gentle snoring in the background, that is Pepper. Also, I've got some really good listener feedback following the Goblins episode, and I'll be talking about some of that next episode, hopefully. All right, let's take a look at the daemons. These are the last three daemons in this section, and remember, they are not demons. Daemons are neutral evil, and it's probably actually pronounced demons, but for the sake of, making a distinction between them in an audio format, I'm saying daemons. First up, we have the Piscadamon. The Piscadamon, as the name sort of suggests, is an aquatic-type-looking creature, or at least its upper parts are. It's got a tentacly head, said to be that of a carrion crawler. It's got kind of a lobster body, but then it's got some chicken legs. So it has that kind of Hieronymus Bosch composite kind of a look, which we saw earlier in Demons, and which made a lot of sense in Demons because demons are chaotic, right? There's something warped and strange and kind of mutated about them, and of course that's why the mutation tables are such an important and fun part of Realms of Chaos for the Warhammer games. The Piscadamon doesn't look quite wild enough, maybe, because its head seems like it could go with the rest of its body, and then the bird legs are just a bit odd. It's a pretty tough opponent. It grabs you with its claws and then pulls you in so that it can sting you with its tentacles, which is both a pretty dangerous attack and a good image. I think my favorite thing about the Piscadamon is that it says here that Piscadamons, you know, they basically act as kind of servants and soldiers. These are the kind of thugs and bullies of the daemon world, and they resent being told what to do. They're not the most powerful daemons, but they are pretty tough, and they don't appreciate the fact that they basically have to get pushed around, not only by those who summon them, but also by their superiors in the demonic hierarchy. So you might have an evil wizard who summons Piscadamons, it says, to serve as either labor or guards, but then they will actually conspire to try and overthrow him as best they can. So despite the fact that the Piscadamon is this tentacled, clawed monstrosity, your player characters might find in it an unlikely ally because it just doesn't like being bossed around, which makes them pretty unreliable labor and guards, but, you know, the life expectancy of a mad sorcerer is typically pretty short to begin with, so maybe, you know, there's no way to locate Piscadamon betrayals in the statistical noise. Then we've got the rather different Ultrademon. Now, I don't know what the Ultrademon reminds me of. It's sort of a slim, long-limbed figure with a blank head and two big oval eyes. Got a cool, sinister-looking appearance. It makes me think of a time, I think I must have been kind of in my pre-teens, and I think this was around the time of the sort of the fall of the Berlin Wall, and I remember that on television they showed, I guess, like there was some kind of a Pink Floyd, you know, the Wall themed thing. I don't know what it was, but they played the video for the Pink Floyd song Goodbye Blue Sky, and it scared the daylights out of me. Particularly the image of the sort of skulking human-ish creatures with gas mask faces. That for some reason really put the frighteners on me. And it's an image that's stayed with me ever since, even though, like, I can go back today and look at that video and it doesn't have the same effect on me. So I suppose the big goggly eyes of the Ultra Daemon are a bit gas mask-like, but they also remind me of some other creature, maybe from a comic book, that I must have seen at around the same time, and I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, the big opalescent eyes of the Ultra Daemon allow it to hypnotize people, and it has a couple other similar abilities, illusion, suggestion, mislead, things like that. So clearly this is kind of an undercover spy, operative, agent, assassin kind of creature. And they have a very interesting kind of combat thing, which is, so they have a very good armor class, you need +2 or better weapons to hit them, and of course they have all these other powers. But what they don't have is much in the way of actual damage output. Ultra Daemons are very good at protecting themselves. They have kind of barrier spells. They can wall of fire. They have various illusion and control powers. And they're good at getting away. But they're not good at actually just loading out a bunch of damage on people. They have kind of ordinary 2d4 attacks. So you can see that the Ultra Daemon is going to act as the kind of manipulator or spy behind someone else's conspiracy. Indeed, there are even said to be Ultra Daemons that have mastered the art of summoning, such that they can summon creatures from other planes, including the Prime Material Plane, which is a fun idea, you know, rather than a human wizard summoning something from another plane into the Prime Material Plane. We have, you know, the Ultra Daemon summoning, you know, probably soldiers or monsters of some kind to fight for it from the Prime Material Plane. That's kind of a fun image. And then finally, we've got the Yagna Daemon. Now, the Yagna Daemon is kind of a fun idea. It's a very weird monster. It's a little bit let down by the illustration by Jim Holloway, because the thing about the Yagna Daemon is that it has one great big arm and one regular-sized arm. And that is, once you look at it, you can see that. But because of the different ways the arms are being held, and because the gigantic arm isn't, like, that much more gigantic than the other one, I mean, it's definitely bigger. You can see it once you know, but I missed it anyway. So yeah, it's a big, hefty brute. He's got two unequal arms like the fella in Lady in the Water. And he's even got his own special kind of polearm. And you know you've made it in AD&D First Edition when you got your own polearm. That is the Tolkendar, or Body Wrecker, which is also my favorite dance pop band from the mid-90s. He's a very sort of cartoony enemy. There's a lot of specific description of what the Tolkendar does, and his main goal is to kind of knock you out and then consume your life energy. Which drains a load of your, like, ability points and experience levels or whatever, and they only gradually recover. He can shock and grasp through his metal weapon, which is a fun thing. I think other types of monsters can do that as well. But yeah, so, I mean, he's just a big bully, and he's there to kind of be the muscle for the more, you know, intellectual daemon types, I suppose, like the Ultra Daemon. But yeah, I mean, the monster itself seems almost a little secondary to the Tolkendar. I don't know if it comes from somewhere. It's quite a specific bit of description. And sometimes when we see that, what we see is an author adapting a monster from a favorite fantasy or science fiction novel. But I don't know what this would be off the top of my head. But anyway, yeah, so a pretty good variety of daemons. I don't know that these different types of creatures have had an awful lot of traction in the post-Monster Manual 2 world. They fulfill a mechanical function, which is if you're going to set an adventure among daemons, you've got a wide variety of different types that can fulfill different roles in terms of threats and encounters. I get that, but I don't know how common that actually is in terms of people designing scenarios, right? Are there lots of people who are like, man, you know what I like is daemons. Let's really get down there and explore what those guys are up to, you know? So I feel like some of these are a bit wasted, and that's a shame because some of them are quite compelling. Going back a couple of episodes, I was particularly fond of Karen and the Karana Daemons. I think the Ultra Daemon's pretty cool too, and I believe he's one of the ones that made it into later editions as kind of a standby, presumably because he's just a bit different in his sort of unbalanced power set from a lot of other supernatural antagonists. But so that's it for daemons. In our next episode, we're going to take a look at a grab bag of monsters that don't fall into a particular category before moving on next week to talk about another one of those categories, Demodance. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.